Hi, everybody. We're so excited to have another interview for you today. Today, we are talking with Michael Yavorsky, composer of the new Netflix series, Ivy and Bean, as well as many other projects. And Michael, thank you so much for coming and talking with Rotoscopers and telling us a little bit about your career.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I'm really honored to be here.
Yeah, what we'd like to do is we'd like to get to know our guests. And so tell us a little bit about how you got started as a composer. What got you on that path?
Wow, that's a
big question, I know.
Yeah, it's going to be hopefully I'm going to keep it brief and not go too long. Okay. But basically I started playing clarinet when I was like 7 years old. And then I sort of started teaching myself the piano when I was 9. And then I started writing like when I was probably about 12 or 13. I came home from music class one day and wanted to write a piece for all the instruments in my music elective class at high school. And I don't know what compelled me. I still have no idea. Like if I think back to it, it's like, why did I want to write something? It's just such an odd thing to do, but I did, and the rest is kind of history. But I didn't really get drawn to film particularly until later when I went to the Australian Film Television and Radio School, and that's where, you know, because I just finished up like a formal composition like music degree, classical music, and then, you know, I was sort of unsatisfied with that, and I went to film school and met all these fantastic directors and producers and writers and cinematographers. And I was like, ah, this is where I want to be.
So how did you even get started playing? You said the clarinet, that was your first. Did you like see it and tell your parents, oh, I want to play the clarinet?
That's right. So I think at my primary school, which is what we call them in Australia, elementary, I think here, they had auditions for the concert band. And, you know, I think because there's not really much music in my family directly. So I think my parents were like, well, don't you want to just play something fun? Don't you want to play one of those big brass instruments like the tuba or something? And I was like, no. And again, I don't even remember, you know, it's sort of a this weird sense of I was compelled. I was like, I'm either going to play the flute or the clarinet. That was it. Yeah, I don't even understand why. So I didn't. And then, you know, my brother actually, you know, because I was the clarinet player, I think my brother was going to be the piano player, ended up spending more time on the piano than he did. And it just went from there.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's cool that your parents were like, yeah, let's give it a shot.
Well, they thought, they were like, really, the clarinet? That doesn't seem like as fun as the big shiny brass instruments. But, you know, they paid for all the music lessons. So, you know, uh-huh. I honor them every day.
Uh-huh. That's great. So yeah, you started writing music also pretty young, it sounds like, experimenting with it.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It was, you know, I think there was something about music composing that I was kind of drawn to, you know. Look, in a sense, I think to be a professional musician, I think you sort of need to start early, you know, uh-huh. to get the runs on the board before embarking on a professional career. Even to get into college, you know, you have to finish high school with a certain amount of stuff kind of done to show that you're really interested in pursuing it. Otherwise, I think a lot of the colleges, particularly in Australia, wouldn't even consider you. And I wasn't even thinking about that. I was just having fun. I was writing for my music class and just trying out different instrument combinations and just kind of, it was more being silly with it. And then mm-hmm. I realized that people actually wanted to listen to it. I was like, wow, it's even better.
Did you have favorite composers that you particularly said you weren't that into film as a young age, but did you have composers that you...
Well, I know I was always into film. I wasn't that. I never really considered like composing for film. Mm-hmm. I do recall that I went to see, I think it was a revival of Star Wars with my dad. And this is just as I was starting the band auditions. And we walked out of it. And he said to me, like, what do you think of the music? Wasn't that cool? And I was like, yeah. And he was like, you could do that one day.
Oh, that's mean? Sweet.
And so like, and I sort of filed that away. Like I never really thought about it until, you know, I saw the ad in the paper for the film music course at, you know, the Australian Film Television Radio School. And then I was like, oh, okay, maybe give this a go.
So you graduated from high school and then started, and then did this course at this.
Well, no, I graduated from high school. And then I actually did 4 years of an honors degree in classical, very, very formal composition music education
at
university. So I was studying with a couple of Australia's most acclaimed sort of concert composers. One of them has unfortunately passed now, but I went for them, you know, and particularly to study with them. And it was, yeah, so I sort of came out of it with this, you know, very rigid and formal training, which I'm really proud to have.
Mm-hmm.
But I sort of at the same time was like, I also want to know some practical elements. Like, what can I do with it now?
Mm-hmm. Were you thinking at that point, oh, I'm going to do symphony, that kind of a thing? Or
Well, that was the thing. You know, I think I guess I knew that I didn't really want to be exclusively a symphonic composer. It's a very, very tough competitive mm-hmm. career, and not that film isn't, it is as well. It's just that I sort of was looking for different avenues of like what can I do with this education and with this love of music that mm-hmm. I have. And I think media composing, whether it was for film, television, advertising, mm-hmm. you know, any kind of drama, even the theater, you know, I think I was actually pursuing the theater quite avidly for a while. So I was just looking for ways to get the music out into the world that wasn't necessarily traditional.
So after you took this course in film composing, what was your next step from there to be able to kind of get things going?
Well, the wonderful thing about AFTERS, that's what everyone calls it in Australia, it's the Australian Film, Television and Radio School, was that you meet people who are at the same level with you. And it's actually a very selective process to get into the school. And mm-hmm. so as a result of that, I'm still friends with these people today, even mm-hmm. halfway across the world. I've moved to Los Angeles since then, but I still work with the same people.
Mm-hmm. Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi: People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcasts, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Who I was in class with, you know, so it's just, it's almost like an apprenticeship for the industry. And, you know, it's the beginning of relationships that form, you know, and last for many years, hopefully. So, you know, we got out of film school, and, you know, within a year I was getting calls from some of my friends going, hey, I've got this short film, or I've got this documentary. Would you like to compose for, you know, let me try you out on this television show. I've managed to like talk your way in, you know, so, you know, it was sort of, I mean, it takes a long time, it's baby steps, but it was that network that sort of was created that, you know, you just build on and build on and build on. Film is a very social kind of medium, in the sense that, you know, like it's the old adage that it's who you know, and that really is true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So is it harder to write for episodic television than for film, or they both have their own challenges?
Yeah, they both have their own challenges. I think it's the projects themselves that vary. So you can have a film that's, you know, you're just very easy. You know, you just want some sort of ambient type sounds and nothing that's really going to intrude, because let's say the source music is doing all the heavy lifting in the film, you know. And then you might have a television series where you're having to write in multiple genres, you know, like full orchestra kind of, you know, on a very, very tight timeline. On the other hand, you know, like this project, Ivy and Bean, was three different films with three different kind of musical genres, you know, all recorded within the space of 6 months. This film is constantly challenging, but that's why I love it, because I get bored otherwise.
Yeah, when you're doing an episodic show, do you just hear from the director every week? Okay, this is what we need. These are the beats that we need. Or how does that all kind of work?
Yeah, so on an episodic show, most of the time you're actually working with someone called the showrunner. And so they're sort of above the director. Sometimes they can be one of the directors, but often the showrunner is the person that you... that you, as a composer, that you interact with the most, and they're, they're the creative lead on the show. And even if, you know, a director may come in, and let's say there's an 8-episode series and a director has directed 2 episodes of that series, there's still the showrunner keeping the eye on the other 6. So a director might say, hey, I would like this here and this here, and the showrunner not necessarily may disagree, but may sort of say, well, actually I think this is a thematic moment because of something that happens in episode 6, and you know, we're only in episode 2, so maybe we could set up a theme here for the, you know, they just keep an eye on the overall arc of the series. Mm-hmm. So of course, with a feature film or with a series of feature films, the director is the creative lead. So,
right. So for Ivy and Bean, this seems like it has a young, whimsical energy. What was that like to write for it?
Well, you know, I've been working with the director, Alyssa Down, since her very, very first film in 2007, showing my age now. We have this kind of shorthand, like I know her humor. Mm-hmm. I know what she finds funny. I know what kind of music she likes. You know, she likes really, really catchy melodies. She likes sort of fun, upbeat energy, music that doesn't take itself too seriously, but can get really emotional when it needs to. And that's, knowing that, it sort of gives me a really great head start with any project that we work together on, because I'm like, I already know the type of music that you're going to be attracted to. But even so, you're still trying to find the language for every single project. Like the last film that we did was sort of with there were older characters, they were sort of teenage girls, sort of they were sort of their senior year of high school. So this is a lot younger. And so we were looking for a language you could draw really strong themes out of for each character, but had that sense of fun, danger, excitement, but also was able to move. So like the first movie is sort of has more of an adventurous kind of sound. The second movie has more of a ghost-like, almost supernatural sound. And the third one, you know, leans into ballet and actually quotes from some famous ballets along the way. The idea was, you know, to vary the sounds of the score, but like you say, keep it whimsical and fun.
Are you a fan of Rachel's Reviews? Do you look forward to Family Movie Night, Female Film Critics Panels, or the Talking Disney podcast? If so, please consider supporting the podcast by becoming a patron. As a patron, you get to access monthly events such as the watch-alongs and Q&As, where you get to talk to stars and find out the behind the scenes of the movie making industry. And you can pick what I review for Family Movie Night, or even become a guest on the podcast. Podcasts and YouTube channels are expensive, and I really, really could use your help. I would so appreciate it. You also get to be a member of the Facebook group where we talk about all the films that we're seeing, and we have so much fun. Go to patreon.com/hallmarkies and select one of the Rachel's fan tiers. That's patreon.com/hallmarkies. Is it hard sometimes to know, okay, what instrument to use for different parts of the composition?
Yeah, that's a really good question, especially when you've got an orchestra. You've got so many instruments to choose from. What I find that helped is just working with the pictures, because when you're, you know, you get the movie to look at and watch multiple times. And, you know, nowadays we have this incredible software that we can write, you know, we can sort of pretend to play any instrument at all, put the sound up against the screen. And in fact, you know, I'm a clarinet player, but I don't really like using clarinet in my scores. Like, I tend to avoid it. But on these films, like, these characters just ate up the clarinet. Like, they love the clarinet. So I was like, more clarinet. And every time Alyssa was like, what's that instrument? I'm like, it's the clarinet. She's like, let's have more of that. So clarinet everywhere on these scores.
Yeah. Hysterical. Well, so, maybe because it's tapping into your childhood and that's what you played as a kid.
You know what? There's probably something in that.
Yeah. That's interesting. So you also did for the Cabinet of Curiosities that's coming out with Guillermo del Toro.
Yeah, I did one of the episodes. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. One of those. It's like a series of shorts, correct?
They're episodes. They're not. They're okay.
Shorts.
There are like my episode was an hour. So yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay. Can't they have different directors each of the episodes, right?
Right. So I did a horror film with called The Vigil with Keith Thomas, who a couple of years ago. And we had a great experience. It was a lot of fun, a lot of music in that film too. Very different to Ivy and Bean,
yes,
I imagine. And so, yeah, no, I was delighted. He asked me back, he rang me and said, I've got this other project. Do you want to have a look at this?
Mm-hmm. That's so cool. Yeah, I would think that would be fun to have the variety of all the different subjects.
I'm very lucky in that sense because I've always had a range of projects come across my desk, so I've been able to, you know, explore different parts of my own personality, from you know, like I said, childlike innocence to just absolute horror mayhem. So and I kind of like doing both.
Yeah, well, you also were on the Blindspotting series. What was that like?
We're actually right in the middle of series two right now, so yeah, it's great. I mean, I scored the Blindspotting movie, which the series is sort of not based off, but it sort of takes a, you know, it's some of the characters in, you know, in just, you know, sort of it's tangentially related to the film.
I love that movie. I thought it was really good. I haven't seen the series yet, but
yeah, the movie is, it was such a beautiful experience to work on that film. I actually came on board really late. I actually got presented with you don't always get presented with like the final movie on a show. Like you might see it early on, or you might see or whatever, but Blindspotting was kind of done when it landed, and I was just watching it going, wait, oh my god, I get to score this film is amazing. And the series, yeah, it was different again because I was working with another composer, and I don't normally do that. And so yeah, we brought on Ambrose Akinmusari, and he's just become a fantastic collaborator and friend. He's hugely successful and well regarded in the jazz world. He's a phenomenal trumpeter and composer. And so it's been a lot of fun and very rewarding working on the two Blindspotting series with him.
What's it like when you get to hear, you go to the big screen, you get to see and hear your music?
Well, yeah, we did it the other night. It was the Ivy and Bean premiere. It was on Monday night. There's actually a real sense of peace when you actually see it, like when you see the film or the show finally with an audience, because, you know, the previous time that a composer has seen the film will be the mixed screening, and people are still giving notes and making suggestions, and, you know, like there are changes last minute and all kinds of things, so you're not actually relaxed, you know. It's like you're casting a critical eye across, or critical ear like across what you're hearing. So with when you actually go to a screening or a premiere and you see the final film, there's like this sense of like, there's nothing I can do. You know what I mean? Like, I can't make it better. I can't make it worse. I'm just, you know what I mean? Like, I'm sort of free, and I can just enjoy it as an audience member. And there's something really quite almost rewarding, you know, you're just, wow, you know, it's like, that was hard for in all the best ways. And now it's done. And now it's out in the world, and I'm excited to see how audiences react.
Do you think that you're especially cognizant of the scores when you go watch other people's movies, when you go to the film, when you go to the movies?
Yes. and actually, not only that, I see, it's like I have cast this particular illness upon everyone I know, because like and not even wittingly, like people call me and they're like, Michael, since I've known you, or, you know, ever since you went into this career, I started listening to the music, and some people are like, it's great, and other people are like, it's really annoying. You know, it's like, yes, I just want to sit back and relax. Now I'm like concentrating on the music because I'm thinking what you would say or whatever. Like, I'm sorry.
Do you have a favorite of a recent film, that score that you especially liked?
Oh, no, God.
Hard question.
That's a really hard question. What have I loved lately? I love Station 11.
Oh, okay.
But the music in that was, and also The White Lotus. Those were the two. Oh. I know they're in sort of series land, but those were the two that really, I just adored those two scores, you know. And they both felt like feature film scores to me. They were just the deep and rich and beautiful. I love both those.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, what advice would you give to people who want to get into film music?
So that's also a hard question because things have changed so much nowadays. But It's a couple of things. I would say learn as much as you can about music. Don't just go straight into composing for film. I think it's really valuable to take the path that I did, to go and study formal composition and not even think about media composing for a while. Like, learn as much as you can, go as deep into music history as you can, learn as much about contemporary music as you can, orchestration, all those things first, before you even tackle film music. Because I think I meet a lot of composers who have just gone into it too early. Mm-hmm. And second of all, you know, remember that this is a socially driven career, and you need friends and you need colleagues who are working with you. You need to seek out young directors and writers and producers and cinematographers, and you need to work with them, and you need to learn how to work with them, because the thing is you know, it is a collaborative medium at its heart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. Well, we're really excited about the new series by Ivan Bean. So thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us. And it was great. It's great, great getting to meet you.
Yeah, you too. Thanks so much, Rachel.
Yes. Do you have social media or anything like that you want to share?
Yes. Well, my Instagram is my full name. So okay. Michael Yezerski, that's Yezerski. And you can find me there.
Perfect. Great. We'll have that in the description. And thanks again.
Thank you so much.